From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. Sponsored by Bio-Rad. Find your perfect match among the full line of Bio-Rad thermocyclers and real-time PCR instruments, plastics, and reagents. On the web at www.bio-rad.com/genomics. This week on the GenCast Network. Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling talks to Dr. Linda Siracusa from Thomas Jefferson University's Medical College in Philadelphia on microRNAs and cancer susceptibility.
Dr. Linda Siracusa is an associate professor in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at Thomas Jefferson University's Medical College in Philadelphia. Studies in her laboratory focus on a variety of genes involved in cancer susceptibility. She and her colleagues recently reported that differences in certain microRNAs may predispose some individuals to develop cancer. Research on microRNAs has been growing rapidly over the past few years. Dr. Siracusa, what are microRNAs?
MicroRNAs are a group of small RNA molecules. They do not code for a protein. They've been identified in a variety of organisms ranging from plants to humans. They are single-stranded RNA molecules. They're only about 18 to 22 nucleotides long. They're made from longer transcripts that are processed, but the longer transcripts actually are copied from the DNA in our chromosomes or from the DNA in our mitochondria. And to the best of our knowledge, they're present in every cell type in the body.
Now, studies on microRNAs appear to be one of the hottest areas of research in the life sciences right now. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think microRNAs are so exciting because they present us with a new mechanism to regulate gene expression, specifically at the post-transcriptional level. MicroRNAs can bind to other RNA molecules known as messenger RNAs that encode the proteins in our bodies. When they bind to these protein-coding RNAs, the protein-coding RNAs can be stopped from making their respective protein, or they can be destroyed. And if they're destroyed, of course, they cannot make the protein any longer because they don't exist. One microRNA can bind to one or many different protein-coding RNAs. So one microRNA has the capacity to stop the production of a number of proteins. In addition, several different microRNAs may bind to the same protein-coding RNA to eliminate its translation. So this mix-and-match potential is quite large between microRNA molecules and protein-coding RNAs, meaning that a number of important pathways can be affected simultaneously in the life of a cell. The novelty here is that microRNAs opened up a new way of controlling gene expression. The 3' end of protein-coding RNAs, which are called UTRs, or untranslated regions, were thought to be important in the stability, keep the life of the particular protein-coding RNA, how long they would stay or exist inside a cell. But now we know that microRNAs binding to these 3' regions can control the levels of protein being made in a cell. To date, microRNAs have been under intensive investigation, and they've been shown by several investigative teams to control processes such as development, differentiation, and apoptosis. Their expression has been associated with diseases such as Fragile X syndrome, spinal muscular atrophy, DeGeorge syndrome, and Tourette's syndrome. In addition, the expression of microRNAs has been shown to be affected in cancer cells. More specifically, mutations in specific microRNAs have been shown to be one cause of chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and this work was shown by Dr. Carla Croce and colleagues at the Ohio State University Medical Center. Since that time, an increase or decrease in the level of specific microRNAs has been associated with many different cancers. The expression profile of microRNAs, that is, looking at a picture of the levels of specific and or all microRNAs being expressed, can distinguish among different types of cancers. between different organs as well as between different types of cancers arising from the same organ. And these profiles appear to be more potent than using protein coding gene expression profiles themselves. And they have important implications in diagnosis, prognosis, and treatment.
Now, recent work by you and a collaborative team from several different academic groups linked microRNAs to cancer susceptibility. What initially led you to a microRNA cancer link?
The ability of microRNAs to change the protein coding state and destiny of a cell, the ability of microRNAs to interact with several protein targets simultaneously, and to influence whether a cell reproduces or dies, all of these mechanisms made us wonder whether microRNAs could be factors involved in cancer susceptibility. In addition, Dr. Cinzia Sevignani in my laboratory, who had worked on microRNAs in the human genome, being a former member of Dr. Carla Croce's laboratory, had compared the locations of chromosome breakpoints found in cancer cells with the locations of microRNAs and found a strong relationship, suggesting that microRNAs could be the primary cause of some cancers. When Dr. Sevignani joined my laboratory, we discussed the possibility that microRNAs could be involved in tumor susceptibility and set off to study that question.
Now, can you describe in a little more detail the research that you and your collaborators carried out to see if microRNAs could affect cancer risk?
So susceptibility to cancer, which we consider as determining an individual's risk of developing cancer, is not straightforward to determine in the human population. Factors in the environment, such as exposure to carcinogens, diet, and smoking, may have a strong impact on the development of cancer. However, the specific genes and the forms of those genes that a person carries determine also their individual genetic makeup, and thus have a role in determining an individual's cancer risk. We decided in this instance to use the mouse as a model organism because the environment where the mice live can be controlled and thus is equivalent for all of the mice that are being studied. Different inbred strains of mice exist whose genetic makeup is already known, and research by numerous laboratories around the world had already established that certain inbred strains of mice were either classified as resistant or classified as susceptible to different kinds of tumors. And these in laboratories had already determined the map location, the address on a chromosome, of susceptibility regions in the mouse genome. What we did was to take the known locations of cancer susceptibility loci for solid tumors that is tumors from 8 different organs, the bladder, colon, liver, lung, mammary gland, ovary, skin, and small intestine in the mouse, and compared them to the locations of microRNA genes. We found a highly significant association between the two. MicroRNA genes tended to be found at or near regions of the genome that affected susceptibility to tumors, rather than being found outside of these regions. So that was the first step of our work.
Your work. Now, you reported the results of your work in a recent edition of PNAS. What were the main things that you found?
Well, since the comparison told us that microRNAs were at or near tumor susceptibility regions in the mouse, we studied further a selected subset of microRNAs. We sequenced 14 precursor microRNAs, as well as the regions that were predicted to control their expression between susceptible inbred mouse strains and resistant inbred mouse strains, and the results surprised us. 7 of the 14 microRNAs were identical in sequence, meaning that they were not likely to be tumor suppressor genes. However, the other 7 microRNAs did show differences in the sequence of their DNA. We originally thought that the most likely place to find differences in sequences between resistant and susceptible mice would be in the actual sequence of the mature microRNA itself, the part of the microRNA that actually interacts with the protein-coding messenger RNAs. However, that's not what we found. The results showed us that there were numerous differences in the promoter regions of microRNAs, The promoter regions are pieces of DNA right next door to the actual mature microRNA that control the expression of the microRNAs. So differences in the promoter regions could lead to differences in where these microRNAs are expressed, at what time during the development or life of an organism the microRNA is expressed, or the absolute levels of microRNAs in any particular cell or tissue of the body. So we then hypothesized that small differences in promoter regions could affect the amount of specific microRNAs, such that over the course of a person's lifetime, a small change may, for example, lead to an increased or a decreased risk of cancer.
Now, that leads to my final question. How do you think this research will ultimately improve the diagnosis and treatment of cancer in humans?
So there are several powerful applications of this research to human disease. For example, the sequence of specific microRNAs and their promoter regions could be used to assess an individual's risk of developing cancer. For example, if a person has sequence A for microRNA number 1, then they're likely to be resistant to a certain type of cancer. But if another person has a different sequence for the same microRNA number 1, then they may be likely to be susceptible to that cancer. The ability to know these factors early in life rather than later could influence a person's lifestyle. It could also lead to methods and treatment to prevent the cancer from developing in the first place. The sequence of microRNAs could also be used as biomarkers to determine diagnosis and prognosis of individuals with cancer. They could also be used to determine the likelihood that the particular cancer will respond to specific types of treatments. And finally, specific microRNAs could be used for gene therapy to specifically target and kill cancer cells.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. Now we'd like your thoughts on some of the topics discussed during this week's podcast. Please go to www.genengnews.com/blog and answer the following question. How do you think research on microRNAs will ultimately improve the diagnosis and treatment of cancer in humans? Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week's guest, Dr. Sukru Tuzman from the Translational Genomics Research Institute in Phoenix, on cancer drug target identification and validation. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.